This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Salatu Wassalam, Rasulullah, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Ta'ala Wa Barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi, welcoming you to Stories of the Prophets. And today is episode number 34, and we are with session number 5. Talking about Musa alayhi salam, the shoulder for the oppressed. Musa, the shoulder for the oppressed. So this is session number 5, episode number 34. Let me pin it here. Let me pin this, Musa, so that people know what we're talking about. The shoulder. Or is it writing in French? I hope you people are doing great today. Today is Friday. I hope everybody's doing well, alhamdulillah, and staying healthy. The shoulder for the oppressed. I'm just pinning something here on Instagram and giving time for people to show up in salah. The oppressed. Here we go. And then choose this. Here. There we go. Facebook, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Instagram, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you guys are doing great. This is the Stories of the Prophet series, which we've started, alhamdulillah, months ago. And today we are with episode number 34. So 34th lecture so far. Talking about the prophets and today inshallah ta'ala we are with session number 5, Musa alayhi salam, the shoulder for the oppressed. And you will see why we picked that title for Musa alayhi salam, why he deserves that title and beyond, why Musa the shoulder for the oppressed, right? So we will inshallah ta'ala about that today, bi-idhnillah. So my brothers and sisters, welcome again, and let us get straight to it, bi-idhnillah. Yesterday we were talking about the, how Musa alayhi salam got to know about his mother, how Musa alayhi salam got to know about his real mother, the one that was breastfeeding him, that deal that she worked out with Fir'aun. So Musa had that, that hanan, that gentleness, that tenderness from two moms, his fostering mom and his actual mom, who's actually was, breastfeeding him. And then Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, so who used to love him. But then, we talked about how his mom used to tell him stories, and especially the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And we said yesterday as to why she chose Yusuf. Yusuf was from Bani Israel, and Yusuf lived in Egypt, right? And he used to be beloved by Egyptians. So she needed him to have that role model, as Musa alayhi salam, eventually he will find out that he will need to know that he is from Bani Israel. He is from the son of the children of Israel. Although he lives in the palace, thinking that he was Egyptian, but later on he would find out that he was laqitul ma, he was water discharge. The name of Musa is a water discharge, as we explained a couple sessions ago. And then he had to make that decision because his mother told him. By the way, father, we don't know anything about Musa's father. Clicked in my head. Allah Azza wa Jal did not mention anything about Musa's father. We're only about Ummu Musa, Ummu Musa. Musa was mentioned in the Quran 136 times. 136 times. And all these times, Allah Azza wa Jalla many times talks about his mother and Harun, his brother, and his sister. His sister, right? Maryam, who was walking, and from far. Qussihi, she was walking from kind of like from that bank and watching him from far when the mother threw him into the river. So we know about his mother, we know about Harun, his brother, we know about his sister, but the Quran never mentioned anything about Musa's father. Who's his father? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Have you people, you know, noticed this? I mean, it just, subhanAllah, it popped up just like that. But, you know, is there some wisdom behind it? Allahu A'lam. But the value of women, maybe all I could tell, or all I could say is, you know, the value of women, the value of a mother, you know, and this amazing mother who, in fact, he refused to succor from any woman except his own mother, you know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a promise to her, and he, you know, and he fulfilled that promise. Two promises, and he fulfilled one so far, and the second one will be fulfilled as well. So, but it's interesting. It's really interesting to know that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not talk, you know, about Musa's father. Although we know about Yusuf, yes, we talked about his father, but subhanAllah, in the Quran, we don't talk about Yusuf's mother. Huh, look at how these things, you know, in the Quran, things are, you know, these stories are, you know, sometimes they make you think, you know, and make, you know, and be in awe. Yusuf had that wonderful relationship with his father, but we don't know anything about his mom, right? Where Ibrahim, he had a wonderful, you know, we know about his father, but he did not have that relationship with his father, you know, because his father was, you know, chose to be a non-believer. So, but the Quran mentions about his father, not about his mother. So Yusuf alayhi salam, Ismail, you know, and that relationship with his mother and father. SubhanAllah, look, ajib. Ismail in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about his mother, you know, Hajar, and he talks about his father, you know, Ibrahim. Whereas Musa, we only know about his mother, but we have no information whatsoever about his dad, you know. So we leave it as that. We talked about some of the traits of the, you know, of a leader, as Musa alayhi salam. He had that mission, right? The mission of Musa alayhi salam. Remember the mission, brothers and sisters? I mentioned them. There were four missions. Those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, who can remind me of Musa's missions? He had four. I mentioned four missions. Where are they? What are Musa's missions, right? He had four. Four things that he had to do. Why he was sent out, you know, as a prophet, as a messenger, you know, the mission or the message that he's carrying. So four, remember, I mentioned them. Those of you who are taking notes, you should know this. To confront Fir'aun, that's number one, right? To confront the greatest tyrant, that's Fir'aun. So that's number one. Right, Zakallah khair yasmin, to call Fir'aun to Tawheed. So not to, not number one, to confront him. Number two, to call him to La ilaha illallah. To call him to La ilaha illallah. Number three. To free Bani Israel from slavery. Zakallah khair. To free Banu Israel from slavery. And number four, lead Banu Israel away. Naam. That's number four. So number one is to confront Fir'aun. Number two is to call Fir'aun. Give him da'wah. Call him to Islam. Call him to La ilaha illallah. Number two. Number three is to free Banu Israel from slavery. You know, and to support them from dhul, from disgrace. And number four is to bring people, you know, Banu Israel out from Egypt and to start the Renaissance, right? To start that Renaissance with Banu Israel. Amazing story. Amazing, amazing story with so many lessons. So that was his mission. So he needs to be a leader because he's going to lead, you know, these you know, hundreds of thousands of people from Banu Israel. So he needs to inculcate these qualities of a good leader. So we talked about the qualities of a good leader. Number one, you know, a true leader has to have the quality of gentleness and tenderness. That's number one. Number two, we talked about distinguished education. A true leader has to have distinguished, you know, education. And Musa alayhi salam, he learned that. This is why he had to live in the palace. He had to live in the palace to get that distinguished education. And number three, we talked about physical strength. Truly a good leader has to build that physical strength. And as you know, the Egyptians, they used to be really good at, you know, at not only education, you know, but also education. The evidence is the pyramids, right? The pyramids. They were very, very brilliant, smart people. Until today, people do not understand the wisdom behind or the technology behind behind subhanAllah the pyramids, and also sports, so physical strength. Number four, confidence and pride. You know, pride meaning not arrogance, but a true leader has to be, you know, has to have that high self-esteem and confidence. He got that when he was in the palace, and he will need that, you know, to stand and confront Fir'aun. Number five, courageous, courage. A true leader has to be courageous. Of course, you need to have that courage. Number six, a role model, a true leader. You know, he has to have a good role model. This is why his mother used to talk to him about Yusuf alayhi salam. She used to tell him the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, as Yusuf and Musa, they share some common denominators. They were both from Bani Israel, right? Musa, eventually he will be kicked out from Egypt. Yusuf was kicked out as well, you know, from Palestine, gone to Egypt. So they share a lot of, you know, common points. And Musa Yusuf alayhi salam was beloved by the Egyptians. They loved, you know, Egyptians, they loved him. He saved them, Yusuf alayhi salam. So she used to tell him about the story of Yusuf. So truly a good leader has to have a role model. We also talked about, you know, another quality of a good leader is to have a balanced personality, right? A balanced personality, someone who's flexible, someone who is flexible, right? And balanced personality, not too harsh and rough, but he will have to have, you know, a balanced personality. Also somebody who is humble, somebody who is humble. How would you see that, subhanAllah, from the story of Musa alayhi salam? Humble, yes. He will go and he used to go to Bani Israel. He used to go to his family, poor people. He will sit down with them. You know, people who are poor, he will sit down with them, eat with them. And also he will go to the palace and live with the people in the palace. So he built, subhanAllah, that quality. He built that tawazun, you know, that balance as well in his life. Yes, he can easily melt with, you know, with both societies. Easily, you know, melt with both societies. The society of Bani Israel, the poor, the humiliated, the disgraced, but he didn't mind sitting with them on the floor, maybe, and eating with them, whatever, and living with them, and talking to them, and at the same time, he would go and live in the palace. So, you know, he was humble, tawadu. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he says, "Man tawadu'a lillahi rafa'a," brothers, sisters and brothers, please remember this. "Man tawadu'a lillahi rafa'a." Whosoever humbles himself down before Allah, Allah will elevate him or her. Tawadu, which is against, you know, the opposite of arrogance. Because the arrogant, as the Prophet Muhammad also sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that the arrogant will be resurrected in the day of judgment in the form of an ant. Subhanallah. Arrogant going up, you know, going with his head up or with his nose up. You know, he's so arrogant. On the day of judgment, the arrogant will be resurrected in the form of ant. The Prophet says that, you know, why ant? People will not even look at them. They're just going to step on them, you know. But also the tawadu, whoever humble himself down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate them in this dunya and elevate them in al-akhirah. Elevate them both in this life and elevate them in the hereafter. This is the importance of being humble and being down to earth. That does not mean that you disgrace yourself when you're down to earth. No, do not, you know, misunderstand. You know, tawadu, you know, humbleness is to be down to earth. You know, you accept the fact that, you know, you're, you know, the poor people don't, you know, don't oppress them, don't feel like you be good to them, be gentle with them, you can talk to them, sit with them on the floor. Fine, you know, you're happy, you're they say, you know, today we say he's cool. You know, you're cool whether you're here or there, you're cool, you know. And a lot of Muslims, they have a problem with that, subhanAllah. A lot of Muslims have a problem with, they claim that they're not arrogant. A lot of people claim they're not arrogant, but sometimes they act in an arrogant way without even them knowing. I'll give you some examples. lot of us, many times, although we claim that we're not arrogant, but sometimes we act in an arrogant way. In the masjid, let's give you an example. In the masjid, right? Let's say you enter the masjid and you see this poor man, you know, his clothes are torn apart and he's not too, subhanAllah, too clean and yani miskeen. Then he comes to say salam to you. Huh? He comes to say salam to you. How are you going to give him salam? Or the sister, you know. He give him salam, yani maybe he will just say salam and then you move on. He says salam wa alaykum and he smiles. He says wa alaykum salam and then you go, maybe you won't even say salam. He wants to shake your hand. Maybe you won't even shake his hand. Or maybe you give him like a very kind of like, you know, this shake. Miskeen, he's a poor guy, you know, his clothes are all torn apart, you know, he's wearing socks all, you know, with holes in them and whatnot. So he says salam, but you won't give him that salam, that proper salam. On the other hand, you go to the masjid, and then in the parking lot, you see this guy coming out from a Lamborghini. Huh? You see this guy coming out from a Lamborghini, or from a Ferrari, or from a Bentley, you know, or from a Rolls Royce, or from a, you know, a beautiful, amazing car, dressed up nice, you know, mashallah, smelling beautiful, smelling amazing. And then he comes towards you to say salam. How are you going to give him salam, huh? The same way? لا, انت تعال. انت في الحضن. انت hug. You hug, man. Do you? You? I hug you. You not just salam. I don't know you, but I hug you. You don't know him, but you will hug him. Huh? You will, because of his status, subhanAllah. Right? Because of the status. You don't know the guy, but because he just comes out dressed up really nice, comes out from this beautiful, amazing car, whatever, you know, and then he comes salam, you're not going to just give him salam the same way you gave it to the other guy, the poor miskeen man. The poor miskeen man who came to give you a smile, and you say, wa alaikum salam, and then you just moved on, right? Or you sit and talk to him and whatnot, you know. No, this guy will stand and wait. Kayf al-hal, how are you? My name is Abkamana. You will tell him, Abkamana, Abka, what is it called? Anam Kiya. No, Abka, what's your name in Urdu? I used to know this Urdu man and I forgot. Abkanam Kiya Hey. Abkanam, right, I think. Abkanam Kiya Hey or Kiya Hal Hey? Naam, Kiya Hal Hey is how are you? Abkanam Kiya Hey, what's your name? My name is Muhammad Riyad, and you do like this. Or the Arabic, Muhammad Riyad, Habibi, كيف الحال? تعال تعال في الحضن يا حبيبي وهذا وكيف الحال وهذا. And then, right? So Abkanam Kiya Hey, Kiya Hey, exactly. Abkanam Kiya Hey. So you will, you know, you're like I mentioned, sometimes we act in an arrogant way without even us knowing. Do you agree or not agree? Right? I just give you an example. Very, very simple example in the masjid. Same thing applies to the sisters. You sit in, you know, comes in a wonder, what an amazing sister with some beautiful, amazing abaya, well, beautiful, you know, shalwar qamis, with beautiful, beautiful, amazing stuff, you know. Oh, you're going to sit next to her. And you're going to tell her, you're not going to tell the sister foot, you know, she says foot to foot. No. You know, the other sister who's wearing some dirty clothes, smelling whatever, and then she comes and she says, sister, foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. You say, nay, 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 nay. Nay, don't touch my feet. Don't touch my feet. Don't touch my shoulders. She says, sister, foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. Let's close the gaps. You tell her, no, no closing the gaps. But that other sister with, mashallah, very beautiful salwar qamis or sari with all this broderie, beautiful, you know, silky, colorful clothes with smelling beautiful, you know. And then she says, foot to foot. Yes, sister, step on my foot too, you know, if you want. Not only foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. Step, here's my foot. Step on it, sister. You're fine. And you sit next to her. Not hello, kida, right? Sometimes, subhanAllah, we act in an arrogant way without even us realizing. So now you tell me, do you agree or agree? Huh? Khadija Elizabeth, Lula Robe, huh? Layla, Yashmin, Hussein, Mu'nisa. Do you guys agree? Asrof, Ali, agree or agree? You see how I told you initially, see, sometimes, you know, we act in an arrogant way without even us realizing. And you say, no, arrogant? Me arrogant? No, I'm not arrogant. But sometimes we act without even us knowing. Subhan al-Kari. So anyways, Musa alayhi salam, he grew up, you know, in both environments, in the environment of Banu Israel, sitting with them, eating with them. Of course, the food of Banu Israel is not the same as the food of the palace. Come on, you're eating the food of the palace. This is Fir'aun. Yeah. Fir'aun there, the best of the best food, the best education, the maids, everything, you name it, you got it. The food that nobody would have, of course Fir'aun will have. Fir'aun will have. So all I'm saying here is, you know, he adapted to the situation. He adapted, you know, to both environments. Whether he's with Banu Israel or whether he is not with Banu Israel, whether he goes to the palace, he's fine with both. So he is down to earth, you know, humbleness. That's number 8. Number 9. Write down. I didn't mention this, right? I did not mention 8, 9, and 10. So these are, I told you, I will share with you 10 traits and qualities of good leader, you know, of a good leader. So far I mentioned 7 yesterday, you know, with balanced personality. Number 8, you have to be humble, right? That's number 8. Number 9, a true leader is a carrier of a message. A true leader carries a message, risala. Al-qaid, a leader has to have a message. A leader without a message is like a guy driving in London, UK, without a GPS. Right? Even those black cabs in Britain, you know, in England, Britain, those black cabs who have these mind of, mashallah, I watched a documentary on those black cab guys. You know, they memorize the, and I used to drive a cab myself. I used to drive a cab in San Francisco. But those black cab guys in Britain, in London, they memorize the city just like their hands, better than their own home. Yeah, and they know the city in and out, but they still use a GPS now. So a leader without a risala, without a message in life, is like a guy driving in London driving without a GPS, not knowing where he or she is going. Right? Not knowing he or she, where they're going. So remember this, sisters and brothers. So far, this is 9 traits or 9 qualities of good leaders, right? Let's mention them all together. Now let's start. No, let me mention number 10 and then we will, you know, recapitulate them. So number 9, as I said, you have to have a risala. You have to have a message. That's number 9. Number 10. A true leader has to have صحبة صالحة, good companionship. You need to have a good companion on your way. And you're not only a role model. A role model may be a person that you don't, you know, that is not, you know, he does not live with you. He's not in your, you know, somebody that you know of but lives very far away. That person may not even know you, right? He's your role model. He does not know me. I just follow him, right? Or follow her. But a good companion, you need to have a friend. صحبة صالحة. And he will build that صحبة with his brother Harun. So much so that when he goes to confront Fir'aun, he will take his brother with him. He will take, you know, Harun with him. Harun was not a prophet. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Harun was not a prophet. Musa asked Allah to make Harun a prophet. Ajib. When Allah Azza wa Jal, later on, we will talk about this. When Allah Azza wa Jal gave him that mission to go and face Fir'aun and talk to Fir'aun, he says, Ya Rabbi, I stutter, because Musa used to stutter. Musa had this stutter. He says, why don't you send my brother with me so that we can make dhikr and we'll accompany each other? So he need that suhba saliha. He need that, you know, that friendship, that companionship. And then Harun came along. Allahu Akbar. A brother and his brother, two brothers. How's your relationship with your brother, by the way? If you have a brother or a sister, how's your relationship with them? Look at Musa's relationship with his brother and his sister. They were very, very close. So much so close that both of them will go and face the greatest tyrant of all time, Fir'aun. So these are 10 as-suhba as-saliha. Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi falyandur ahadukum man yukhalil. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a man will follow the footsteps of his loved ones, let each one of you, of his close ones, let each one of you meticulously choose their loved ones. I mean their close ones, their friends. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a man will follow the footsteps. Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalil, man follow the, you know, will be after the, you know, following the religion of his close friends. Let each one of you meticulously choose their friends. You will, you know, a man will follow. A man is a mirror unto one another. We are the mirror unto each other. So your friend is a mirror unto you, and you're a mirror unto your friend. Yeah, and when I look at you, you know, my friend, I should see myself, like a reflection of myself. Same thing. When your friend looks at, you know, when you look at him, you know, or her, she should also, you know, have that reflection. So this is why the importance of having a good companionship. So let us go and recapitulate these 10 qualities of good leader, right? The 10 qualities of good leader. Number one, I said tenderness and gentleness. Number two, distinguished education. Number three, physical strength. Strength and sports. Number four, confidence and self-esteem. Number five, courage. Number five, courage. Number six, you need a role model. A true leader, you know, good leader. You need a role model. You need a coach. You need a life coach, right? Number seven, you need to be a balanced personality. Flexible. Balanced and flexible. Number eight, humbleness. Number nine, carrier of a risala, a carrier of a message. And number 10, good companionship, right? Good companionship. So these are the 10 qualities or traits of a good leader. So let's move on, my brothers and sisters. Musa alayhi salam started, like I said, going back to his mom, birth mom. He knows his story now. He knows who he is. But his mom told him, don't divulge that secret. Keep it a secret for now. Do not reveal it. And he kept it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have to test you. He will have to test you. When you claim you're a believer, you've had to go through, or you will have to go through some sort of a test. And Musa alayhi salam will go through that test. You will have to make a choice. You will be put in a situation where you will have to make a choice. And as I said yesterday, a lot of us sometimes, we make the wrong choices, subhanAllah. You will see. He is a carrier of a message. So, something that's going to happen, that's going to be decisive in his life. And what's going to happen is, chapter Al-Qasas, Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 15. Please be careful with me here. I only have few minutes left, and I'm done. But here's the gold. I'm coming with the gold. Because I said, in life, you will have to make choices. Allah Azza wa Jalla will put you in situations where you will have to make certain choices. So here's the choice. And this choice will turn your life upside down. This is why I said, it's a very decisive choice. You know, choice. It's a pivot, you know, it's going to be that day will be a pivotal day in your life. You will have to make that choice. Verse number 15 from Surah Al-Qasas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani ar-rajim. ودخل المدينة على حين غفلة من أهلها فوجد فيها رجلين يقتتلان هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه فاستغاثه الذي هو من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Musa, and then one day he entered his city, the city of his, you know, where he was born, you know, the city of Banu Isra'il. He entered ala hini ghaflatin min ahliha, at a time of unawareness of his people. Because not only now khalas, you know, he's not more getting breastfed. Why are you going to Banu Isra'il? Why? You know, so at a time of awareness. So he used to go in secret to visit his mom and his brother and his sister and his family. Right? So he goes at a, you know, at a, in a day of you know, in secret, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then he found two men fighting. This is why I said this will be the pivotal day. He found two men fighting. One of his party, that means from Banu Isra'il, his party, and the other one from Adui, from his fowls, from his fowls, from his enemy. The man of his party sought his help. He sought his help. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي هُوَ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. And then the one from his party, from Banu Isra'il, he sought his help, Musa's help.
فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ.
Musa, without asking, Musa, without inquiring, just because this man is from his tribe, he just goes. No, he has to make a decision, right there, quick decision. يعني, two men are fighting, one from your clan, no, one from your tribe, one from your party, and the other one from your foes, right? From your fowls. So who are you going to support? Musa, without thinking, he went to support the guy from his own party. What did he do? He struck him with his fist and killed him. Remember what I said? Musa was strong. You know that one man, 1-inch punch, you know, 1-inch punch, just 1 inch. With that one punch, he struck him once. He struck him and he killed him. And then he says, هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is the doing of shaitan. Verily, he's of, you know, عَدُو مُمِيد. He is misleading enemy. Because he realized, I should have asked, I should have inquired, maybe the guy from my own party is wrong. But I just, because he sought my help, I just went and he went and he struck him. Sisters and brothers, here's an amazing lesson right here of Imam Malik. Oh, he lived Imam Malik used to live in Medina. Brothers and sisters, do you wanna hear this amazing story of Imam Malik, who used to live in Medina? You know, Imam Malik, the Maliki Madhab. You know, we call them the Maliki Madhab. Those, you know, like, you know, people in Morocco, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, they adopt this Maliki Madhab from Imam Malik, right? He used to live in Medina, but there's this amazing story that happened to him. Want to know about the story of Imam Malik? We can all relate to this. Amazing. He used to live in Medina. So happened this quarrel between a son, between a brother and his brother, two brothers, right? Between two brothers. One brother killed the other brother. He killed him. One brother killed the other brother. So one brother died. So this is blood brothers in Medina. They had an argument, they had a fight, one killed the other. So they caught the killer. And the hukum, the ruling is the killer will be killed. The killer will be killed. Came the family, the father and the mother, and they said, we forgave, khalas, you know, we lost already one son, we don't want to lose the second son. We lost one already. We don't want to lose the second. Khalas, we forgive and we let go. What did Imam Malik do? Because this is very similar to Musa alayhi salam. Musa, he saw two men fighting. Without inquiring, he goes and then he defends the guy from his own party, right? and then he killed the other guy without even inquiring. Do you want to know what Imam Malik did, brothers and sisters? Huh? The father and the mother, they said, we don't want to lose both kids. But do you want to know what Imam Malik did, brothers and sisters? Yes, Yashmin? Huh? Yes, Nawal? Lula Robe, yes, Khadija, do you guys know? You know? Want to know, Layla, you want to know what Imam Malik did, radiallahu anhu, rahmatullah alayh? We can all relate to this, subhanal kareem. You guys want to know? Yasin? How about Facebook? Mu'nisa? You give me the eyes? You want to know? Shada Ahmed, yes? Okay. Don't you smell something, brother? Who's that guy smelled it? Brother Kamran. Don't you guys smell something? What do you smell? I smell it. What do you smell? I smell something funny. I smell something funny. Oh no. Oh yes. Brother Kamran, he got it. I smell a cliffhanger in the making. I smell a cliffhanger in the making. Yes, we did. Yeah, no, it's not tomorrow. Tomorrow is Saturday and Sunday. No. It will be next week, inshallah ta'ala. It will be next week, inshallah ta'ala. I'm done. Jazakum Allah khair. Yes, it has to be cliffhanger. We're done, but amazing story. You will see what's going to happen to Musa. And now he had to make that decision. He had to make that decision. And he made that decision. And you will see what that decision. This is what I said. It will be decisive. It is very decisive. It's a pivotal decision that he had to make. That's going to change his life. And you see what's going to happen to him. But what did Imam Malik do? And you know, and Musa alayhi salam will choose to travel somewhere. Why that particular town, you know, in Jordan? Why that particular Medina called Midian? Why? Why Midian particularly? Why not go to Palestine? Why he chose Jordan? You know, did he know how to get to Jordan? Did he know how to get to Midian? Anyways, all this, my brothers and sisters. So inshallah ta'ala, as of next week, we will change the schedule. So it will be as of next week, because we ran this poll and a lot of you requested the weekends, you know, versus weekdays. So we will go back to Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays, inshallah ta'ala, as of next week. Unfortunately, we will not see you tomorrow. We will not see you Sunday. I will see you a week from today, meaning Friday. The next session will be next Friday, inshallah ta'ala. Next Friday, bi'idhnillah, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the timing will be different as well. You know, the timing will be different. The timing will be 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. The majority, they wanted that 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, which is 10 p.m. UK time, which is 11 p.m. Belgium time, right? So I will post this on my social media with regard to the new timings, inshallah ta'ala. But as far as, you know, the days will be on the weekends. You know, the series will no longer be on weekdays. It will be on weekends, inshallah ta'ala. With regard to the tafsir class, we'll see again. We will pick the day for that. I will run another another poll talking about the, you know, the tafsir class and when we should have them, inshallah ta'ala. All right. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu feekum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, I ran a poll and it was on Facebook and Instagram, you know, and I asked you guys, you know, to vote, and a lot of people voted, and I went with, you know, and I went by people's, you know, what people chose. I just went with the majority, and the majority chose weekends versus weekdays. So unfortunately, we're going to, you know, go with that. We will go with that for a few weeks, you know, few weeks, and see how that goes, inshallah ta'ala. We will see how that goes, inshallah ta'ala, right? We will see how that goes. Australia time. So, well, why don't you guys vote? Why didn't you vote, right? You know, 5 o'clock, you know, is the majority. Maybe I will change the time. Maybe I will change it to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Keep it the same time, right? 5 a.m. Singapore time. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, so I told you guys to vote, and I'm just going with the majority of the votes. I know, and You know, like I don't want people to, I don't want to be like doom if you do, doom if you don't. I just asked you and people voted. So that's why, you know, you didn't vote. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These will be recorded, inshallah ta'ala. For those of you who may miss them, they will be recorded anyways, you know. So, and then you can always watch them. Let's try and see how that goes, you know, inshallah ta'ala. It'll be on the weekend, right? It'll be on the weekend anyway. So why don't you, you know, stay up that day, you know, from Fajr. And then stay up until sunrise. After sunrise, you can listen to me. You know, stand up until sunrise. And then you can pray your duha, inshallah ta'ala. Whatever, inshallah. We'll try. We'll see how that goes, inshallah. Right? We'll see how that goes. It was on both Facebook and Instagram. You know, the voting, you know, it was on Facebook and Instagram. You can always go back to my page and see them, inshallah ta'ala. But at any rate, jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu feekum. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. السلام عليكم سيسوت وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم.